give Ms. Wanda a big hand. Well, she doesn't get to fellowship with the rest of the people during the fellowship time, so everybody extend her the right hand of Christian fellowship. Okay. I'll give you the left hand. Okay. All right, let's take your Bibles. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. We're working our way through encouragement in troubling times and the Apostle Paul's defense of his ministry and those that were attacking him. And you say, well, what does that got to do with me? Well, if you ain't figured it out by now, you need to do a checkup, because we're living in days. I understand that yesterday I saw, not on Facebook, I'm not on Facebook, but on Fox News, that the school is doing away with Columbus Day and with Good Friday, and they changed it to fall holiday and winter holiday or something like that. So we're in a society that's trying to marginalize Christianity and Christians and everyone else involved. But today we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. Very simple outline this morning, so I didn't do a screen this morning. I want to talk to you about the signs of an apostle. You say, what does that got to do with us? Well, there's like Brother Ray said this morning, there's a lot of people out there that claim to be an apostle. And how are we going to be give a defense of what the Bible says? It's called apology, apologetics, being able to give a defense for what we believe. So I want to help you this morning on that question. Or is the office of apostle for today? You probably already know it's not, but I want to piggyback off of what Brother Ray talked about this morning. So let's stand in honor of God's word. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 and 12. Paul in chapter 10 through 13 is going right after the throat of the pseudo-apostles and defending his ministry to the Corinthian believers who were being greatly influenced by these false apostles. And he says, I am become a fool in glorying, yet you compelled me. You know, when he talked about his trip to heaven and all that stuff previously. For I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. That was the claim by the pseudo-apostles. Not only was Paul not an apostle, but he was not even as good as these false apostles were. And he says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. This morning, Father, I pray you speak to our hearts, that we might not only know what we believe, but why we believe it. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. So here we have Paul continuing to give a defense of his apostleship, and he attacks the false apostles who are deceiving the Corinthian church. And it seemed like it, you know, even all the way back then, even today, right today, the church, or the so-called church, I might say, is confused about the office of apostle or the role of the 12 apostles. They actually believe that the office still exists today. And that's why Brother Ray talked about that some this morning. This is why some of the people believe what they do, because they do not understand. You had first apostles, then prophets, then evangelists, then pastors and teachers. Apostles were foundational. Prophets were foundational. Now you have evangelists and pastor teachers, that is the book of Ephesians tells us here. So the church has always been confused about this, all the way back to the first century, all the way back to the church at Ephesus after the death of the last apostle. Jesus in Revelation 2:12 writes to the church at Ephesus, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience. Thou hast cannot bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. So in our text today, Paul presents irrefutable proof that he was a genuine apostle. And so we can learn some things here from what I'm going to share with you today about this. And two thoughts this morning. What are the qualifications? What were the qualifications of an apostle? And what about the power of an apostle? Well, let's look first of all at the qualifications, okay? I'm going to generalize from the rest of the scripture on this before we get really into our text. Apostles, number one, were chosen and called personally by Jesus Christ. I would say to you, anybody today says they're an apostle, ask, well, were you around when Jesus called the rest of them? In Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, and Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, tells us that. They were personally chosen and called by God, and the Apostle Paul was. He was an apostle in due time. He was not one of the original 12, but he was an apostle to the Gentiles. And then secondly, apostles accompanied Jesus in his earthly ministry. You see that in Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, when they had to replace Judas, who was an apostate. And they gave there in those verses an requirement. They had to have accompanied Jesus in his earthly ministry. Of course, you might know that Paul did not. That's why he's not one of the 12. He is an apostle in due time, one called. Because he also tells us in 1 Corinthians, or I believe it is, 15, 7, and 8, that he appeared to the 12 and then to me. So Paul makes a distinction there. So they had to accompany Jesus in their earthly ministry. And thirdly, apostles were eyewitnesses to the resurrected Lord. And of course, Paul was. He met the Lord on the road to Damascus, as well as the others who seen the risen Lord. And then apostles were authenticated by miracles. Here in our text today is one of the classic texts on the signs of an apostle that we're looking at in verse 12. But also another one that we're going to look at more in depth in just a moment is Hebrews chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. So those are the qualifications of an apostle. And dare I don't want to insult your intelligence, but people today that run around with their apostle buses and vans or have it on their sign, they don't even come close to these four qualifications. And then secondly, not only the qualifications of an apostle, but let's look at the power of an apostle. Look in verse 12, and we'll see, first of all, the signs. Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. The signs of an apostle. Apostle means to be sent, one who is sent. They were commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ and sent out to be foundational in the early church, and the church is built upon the teaching of the apostles. The Bible tells us that, who got that from the Lord Jesus Christ. The word apostle appears 80 times in the New Testament. Now, there are others who were apostles sent out from the church, not the Lord, but they were sent out from the church. They were representatives of the church who went out and were the official authorized representatives of the early church and are us today. If we had somebody in our church that God was calling to be a missionary, we would send them out. We would undergird them. We would authorize them to go out in our name to serve wherever the Lord was. So in a secondary sense, they are apostles. But I want to shake your world this morning. The word missionary is not in the Bible. They were really church planters. A missionary is a church planter. Goes out where the name of Christ is not named and shares the gospel. A church is formed and built, and then they go on somewhere else after they raise up leadership to take that church. That is the New Testament pattern, and we've gotten away from that. So these apostles, God was to raise up a missionary in our church, and we would send them out. They are not like one of the 12, but they are sent, okay? Now, the signs were the benchmark of a true apostle of Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul says in verse 12. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you. And I went to the Greek on this, and I found out that it means to be performed through them, and it emphasizes God's power working through their life. So when Paul raised somebody from the dead, it wasn't Paul who done it, it was God. Amen? Working through his life. So these are unique men who were foundational to the early church. That office has ceased, okay? And I don't know what background you come from, but the office of prophet has ceased as well. We're in the evangelist and the pastor teachers in the church age. See, you lay only one foundation, right? Lord Jesus Christ, that foundational teaching of the apostles. And you can't come up with a foundation all the way up 24 feet, can you? There has to be a structure, and that structure is evangelist and pastor teachers. So this is the benchmark of a true apostle of Jesus Christ. These pseudo-apostles were claiming to be pseudo-apostles, but they were not. Now notice the power in the latter part of verse 12. He says, in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Now this is not three types of miracles. This is looking at the same miracle from three aspects. In signs, wonders, and mighty deeds. Signs were miracles authenticating the messenger and the message. Jesus healed and did miracles to authenticate he was the Messiah. Okay? The apostles were given the gift to authenticate to the early church that they, which they were foundational, but to authenticate to the early church that we are true messengers of God, and this is the message here. Remember that always. Miracles in the Bible were to authenticate, okay? It's not like you see it on TBN today or CTN or there's all kind of stuff. I deleted them off my DISH satellite. I only got, you know, I missed my NRB when I went to DISH. That was on DirecTV, but I can listen to MacArthur in other ways. So signs is miracles authenticating the message and the messenger. Now, what is this wonders here? Wonders is the reaction to the miracle. Speaks of awe and the awesomeness of the miracle, their reaction to the miracle. They created amazement and wonderment and astonishment, drawing onlookers' attention to the message that was given and being proclaimed. Now, today we have it different. They say, come to our healing meeting, our camp meeting, and come, and they claim to have miracles. And it's not to authenticate anyone but them and their false message. There is no real gospel that comes after that so-called miracle in today's camp meetings, okay? But here, it was to get an audience. They were at wonder and amazement at what was happening. And then mighty deeds, that's the power. These supernatural miracles were signs pointing to them as genuine messengers of God. And they were all performed through a human agent. And I tell you, by the authority of God's word, when the office of apostle ceased, that ability of a man personally to be an apostle and to heal went away. It ceased. Now, Brother Ray mentioned someone this morning in an apostolic church on Vine Street, right over here by the graveyard. It's part, you go down here and you turn left, it's right there on your right by the graveyard. And he mentioned about a black truck, big old black truck. Was that the pastor's truck? He probably had his own special parking up there. You know, anybody parks in it, you'll be towed away. There was a church across town that actually had that. Pastor's parking only, all other cars would be towed away. Now, imagine what you'd do if I put up a sign like that this week. I mean, you'd run over the sign, wouldn't you? But my question to you, Brother Ray, is if he was an apostle, they didn't need to be meeting over there in the church. They need to go across the street in the graveyard, amen? And raise the dead. And then you mentioned the Brownsville, quote, counterfeit revival in Brownsville, Florida. Well, that's near Pensacola, wasn't it, I believe? That man that everybody followed and thought he was doing a great work for God, let me say this, number one, just because you see something supernatural doesn't mean it comes from the Spirit of God, okay? That's why he tells us to test the spirits. Secondly, this man that Brother Ray was talking about was found out later to be a big fraud in that regard. Now, there was a threefold purpose for signs, wonders, and miracles. Let me share those with you, and then I'm going to share with you why the office has ceased. Number one, these men were given the ability to cast out demons, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, as Paul mentioned, you mentioned in your scripture this morning, Paul would lay these handkerchiefs on the sick when they come, and they would bring them, and they'd be healed. You know, Oral Roberts used to teach that. Send me so much money, and I'll send you an anointed cloth. And, of course, we found out later there's nothing to that cloth. Another guy in Texas says, send me your money, and I'll send you some water from the Jordan River. It later found out to be out of your own faucet at home. A lot of quacks out there, folks, and I know we're not going to fall gullible to them, but you can help somebody who has. Why were these apostles' ability to do signs, wonders, and miracles? Well, miracles, now, I'm going to lose some of you here, okay? But that's okay. Miracles in the Bible are introduced in three great eras when divine revelation was given. The miracles recorded in the scripture took place within these three time periods. Number one, the time of Moses and Joshua. What was that for? To usher in the law. The second period is the time of Elijah and Elisha. What was that for? To usher in prophets. And then you have the time of Christ and the apostles, right? That was to usher in the Messiah. Now there's one yet to come, and that is to usher in the kingdom. That is the rapture of the church and the tribulation period. You'll see manifested multitude miracles happening in that time. That's to usher in the kingdom of God. Amen. So everywhere in Scripture recorded, all of these miracles were recorded in these three time periods, okay? Secondly, not only were they introduced in different eras of divine revelation, but secondly, these miracles authenticated the message and the messenger. I said that already, but I want you to turn with me to the right a little bit. I want you to see this. I want you to go with me to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And if you're looking on with somebody else's Bible, maybe you'll find that, okay? Boy, you ever notice how hard it is to borrow somebody's Bible? You don't even know where you're at. You have to turn it around. You think you got it upside down, right? I just get used to my own Bible, don't you? Don't you like your own Bible? Amen? You know exactly where it's at. In fact, the preacher says, turn to Galatians chapter 1. You know right away it's in your Bible on page 1009 on the left-hand column. Amen? No, we ain't quite got like that yet, but you can almost get there. Miracles authenticated the messenger and the message. Look in Hebrews chapter 2. Now read with me. Not out loud with me, but read with me. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was at first began to be spoken by the Lord and confirmed unto us? Now who is us? That's you and me. By them that heard him. Now who is them that heard him? That's the apostles. So the Lord gave revelation to the apostles, and then the apostles wrote it down or spoke it, and it was spoken to us, everybody that was alive since the apostles. See, y'all get the drift here, right? Okay. By them that heard him. Now look at verse 4. God also bearing them witness. Now who is them? Remember in Bible interpretation, what is the antecedent? It's to whoever you just got through talking about in the latter part of verse 3. Them that heard him. Now, in verse 4, he says, also bearing them witness. Who is them then? Somebody tell me. The apostles, okay? Now, follow me. God also bearing them witness. How? Both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and of gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. So, the second reason for miracles recorded in Scripture, especially in the church age, was to authenticate the message and the minister. God gave them testimony, those that heard him, and it was confirmed by the ability to do these things. Thirdly, there's a third reason why we have signs and wonders and miracles. Miracles revealed a truth about God. You remember in the sign miracles in the Gospel of John, there are seven of them. Every time Jesus got ready to give them some divine revelation, he would perform a miracle, right? Because that miracle pointed to the divine truth that he wanted to teach them, okay? You're familiar with that when we went through the Gospel of John. We also see it in Exodus 34:10. Let me read it to you. And he said, behold, I make a covenant before all thy people, and I will do marvels, such as not have been done on earth nor any time, any nation. And all the people among which you are shall see the work of the Lord. See, the third purpose for signs, wonders, and miracles was to manifest a man an attribute of God, okay? For it is a terrible thing that I would do with them. Now, lastly, how do we know that the office of apostle has ceased? Well, let me share with you four things. And they slowly ceased in Scripture, okay? It's amazing that in a lot of the letters when they were most active, you go later on to some of the letters that were written last, there was no recorded miracles in their books. In the book of Acts, the sick were healed, and at the very end of Paul's life, this man who had the ability to heal told Timothy and Timotheus to consult other means. If Paul still had the ability, why did he not heal Timothy? Trophimus. Number two, there are no recorded miracles in Acts in Jerusalem. Now that's that's key, in Jerusalem after the stoning of Stephen. Brother Ray talked about one, or you could have Paul getting bit by a snake, but they weren't in Jerusalem. I'm talking about in Jerusalem. And then number three, the apostles were protected by God, but yet when God was through with them, he allowed them to be martyrs. That's the thing about these people who claim to have the ability today. They all die. It's interesting. What's that guy's name, Paul Crouch? You know, give me your money. We're going to pray for you. But when he got ready to die, he wanted the saints to pray for him. Right? He did not pay the saints to pray for him. Why? Because he knew that wasn't right. But somebody took him home anyway. Okay? See, they were protected by God till God got through with them. Why? They were foundational gifts. Same thing with Oral Roberts. You know, same thing. These, and you may get offended and never come back, but I'm telling you today, these quacks who claim to have to be able to do these things do die. Okay? And then number four, the passage we looked at in Hebrews chapter 2, 3 and 4, if you're still there, you can note it. It refers to the signs and wonders in the past tense. These were done in the past tense by the apostles. The apostles and their sign gifts were foundational. Now, what are you saying, preacher? God does not still heal? Did anybody hear me say that? No, God still heals. But James is the pattern. He heals through the prayers of the saints, right? Not through a man. There's no man alive today that has the ability to lay their hands on anybody and they get healed. That has ceased. God wants his people to pray for each other, right? And if they do that, well, how come they're not down there at Wooden Chiver and Allen and Allen? How come they're not at that cemetery across the street from this apostolic church? You see what I'm saying? They say, well, if you have enough faith, you can raise the dead. I want you to come up close just a moment. The dead will be raised at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's when they'll be raised. And you can like it or lump it, but that's what the Bible teaches. It's appointed a man wants to die and then the judgment, right? So I just wanted to help you today as we go through 2 Corinthians, be able to be given a defense for those that say they're apostles. You know, the Church of the Latter-day Saints, they believe they are apostles in these last days, that the church perverted and corrupted the gospel message, and then through Joseph Smith, they found a book, and now God has restored his church, and they are apostles in the last days. That is hogwash, okay? That is hogwash. The early church never perverted the gospel. Yes, we had false apostles, and yes, we had false teachers, but the gospel is pure. Amen? It is men. There's always been gospel preaching preachers in churches ever since Jesus went back up to heaven. That's a lie from the devil. But I want to tell you today, you can't defend what I'm telling you about today until you get saved. The greatest miracle ever done is the salvation of a soul. In fact, let me say this. The greatest miracle ever done was the resurrection of Christ. Amen? And then the greatest miracle in your life is when God takes your dead heart that was enmity with God, and then he regenerates it and makes you love God and love his word and love his church and want to assemble with a local body of believers to proclaim his resurrection and to grow as Christians so you can go out there and be Christians in the world. That is the greatest miracle. So many people running around today, going from church to church, looking for the next sensational thing. But I'm telling you, the greatest thing that ever happened in your life and my life is the fact that I am now saved. Amen? Amen? That's the greatest miracle there is. And let me say this. You can't get any more spiritual than having the fruit of the Spirit being displayed in your life. Amen? Father, I pray today as our musicians come.